Okay, we're coming up to the last 15-minute talk before our coffee break. Tomas Skuga, Doppler velocity measurements of iron ejected in Kepler's supernova remnant. So we're jumping over to our 1A. Why don't you wait till the lights come down?
Well, thank you for introducing. My name is Tomas Skuga from the University of Tokyo. The first half of the talk is related to my paper published last year, the asymmetric expansion. Asymmetric expansion of the L ejector in Kepler's supernova remnant. So please read it for more detailed information. Today's goal is two goals. The first half is the Doppler maps of L ejector in Kepler's supernova. I'm sorry not to talk about Cassie. These maps are the Doppler maps. The left is the Doppler velocity maps in a line of sight velocity. And the right map is the Doppler broadening. So the second half is a comparison to Tickle's SNR. So the KSA and N1C2D is the three talks ago. These are the core collapse supernova remnants. And my talk is a type 1A. So the Lopez et al. 2011 shows a clearly difference that type 1A is more symmetric than quark collapse. But no diversity really exists in 1A SNRs. For example, the progenitor problems, the single degenerate or double degenerate, or the expression mechanism, the degeneration or deflagration. So the Williams talks said, Wednesday morning, the one of the crucial clues for these questions is the ejector kinematics. So the ejector heated by reverse shock and emits X-rays. So we should study the expansion structure of heated ejector directed by casual emission lines in the X-ray band. Especially the iron ejector is the best flow because not mixed with ISM. The example, this picture is the iron ejector asymmetry in violent major models in type 1A. So today's target is the Kepler's SNR, the remnant of supernova 1604. Kepler is a type 1A, it's a young type 1A. It has bright and strong iron emission lines, so suitable for this study. The left picture is the proper motion of forward shock. And the right picture is the silicon three-dimensional kinematics of several knots. And our goal is the whole expansion structure. So the proper motion is important, and also the Doppler motion, the line of sight motion, is also important. So we measure the Doppler velocity. So how to measure the Doppler velocity? Well, this is X-ray spectrum in the whole of Kepler's SNR by Chandra CCD. Well, this is iron K-alpha line, and the next is the iron K-beta line. So we want to know the line center and line width of these two lines. But when we make a Doppler map, we should know the line center and line width at each pixel. But fitting spectra like this at each pixel is difficult due to the lack of statistics. So instead, we divide the energy band of line band, and we calculate the mean energy and energy standard deviation of all photons detected at each pixel. The mean energy behaves like line center and standard deviation like line width. So we can simply make the Doppler-like map automatically. So if the SNR expands spherically, so this is the capture of spherical expansion of the lens. The line of sight direction is right to left. So the ejector moving away from us is red shifted. And the moving toward us is blue shifted. So in the general, the X-ray CCD energy resolution is not so good. So the red shifted component, the red line and blue shifted components are mixed and generate one peak, the green peak. So if we observe the edge of the snow house, the red shift and blue shift is not so different. So the green, the one peak, the width is narrow. On the other hand, at the center, the red shift and blue shift is very different. So the line width would be wide. So if we make a radial profile, the line width would get wider to the center. On the other hand, the line centroid would keep uniform. This is a spherical expansion. So how about Kepler? Now, this is our result. So again, this is the Kepler mean energy map, probe of line centroid, and this is a standard deviation map probe of line width. So on the left map, we can easily find the red pixels and blue pixels. Red pixels means lower energy pixels, lower mean energy pixels, and blue is higher. So this mean energy map shows not uniform, non-uniform mean energy. So we choose the characteristic regions like this red region and like this blue region, and make X-ray spectra. So this is a spectra. The red spectra is the red region, and the blue spectra is the blue region. So this spectra shows the mean energy trend and is the real trend of the X-ray line centroid. The lower in the red region and the higher in the blue region. It's very interesting that the red region, the line centroid is lower than 6.4 keV. This 6.4 keV is the K alpha center of the neutral ion. So this region, the line center, is lower than neutral ion. So again, these two maps, the red region is a low centroid, and here the narrow line width. So ejecta are only moving away from us. This is the first ejection of the red city component in Kepler's SNR. And also, we find some blue-shifted components here, here, and here. So next, we calculate the line of sight velocity. So we should estimate the ionization state by using ion Kevita lines and calculate K alpha center as the static system. Then the energy shift tells us the line of sight velocity. This is a caricature of the Kepler's SNR of the edge-on direction. The observer observes from left to right. This is a mean energy map. So the red regions around the center. Here, we find the red shifted components with 2,000 km per second moving away from us. And also the blue shifted components. These ejectors moving toward us with 3,000 km per second in the line of sight direction. So we conclude this expansion structure of ion ejector is very asymmetric. So the next step is a comparison to Tycho. Tycho is as young type 1a as Kepler. So again, this is the ion maps of Kepler's remnants. The left is the count map, and the center is the mean energy, and the right is the standard deviation. And here, the low mean energy and long, narrow standard deviation, so this is the red shifted. And this is the Tycho's map. Counts mean energy and standard deviation. So the emission is symmetric, very symmetric, and the mean energy is uniform. And the standard deviation at the center is a large deviation, and the edge is narrow, except for the synchrotron emission. So this is the spherical loading trend. So the Tycho SNR is a symmetric expansion. It is consistent with Williams' result in 2017. So, is the expansion mechanism is different from Kepler? Again, this is the ion maps of Kepler and Tycho. Up is the Kepler and the down is the Tycho. And we make also the silicon maps for better statistics. Silicon, iron, silicon. So silicon maps, silicon trend is as the same as iron. Okay, so we focus the standard deviation map and make a plot. So this plot is a standard deviation versus the distance from the center at each pixel here. So the Tycho's map, Tycho's plot, the standard deviation gets okay. The standard deviation gets wider at the edge from the edge to the center. So this is the spherical overbrooding trend I showed before the description. So very spherical. On the other hand, the Kepler has no correlation between standard deviation and the distance from the center. So it shows the asymmetric expansion. So see also the Miller's poster 9.2 with Chandra gliding analysis. It shows the same result of Tycho and Kepler. So if it is due to the different expansion mechanism, so spherical SNRs, the Tycho-like SNRs, the origin might be exploded with double detonation models. Might be the detonation, especially the dynamically driven double detonation model. On the other hand, the asymmetric remnants, Kepler-like remnants, the origin might be the deregulation mechanism or violent immersion models. And the delayed detonation models could be explained the both spherical and asymmetric remnants. So the discussion, it is not confirmed. So we need more help from supernova researchers with the theory and simulations for further understandings of type 1 explosion. So please collaborate with us. So this is the conclusion. In this talk, the ejector kinematics of SNR is one of the crucial clues to understand the expansion mechanism of supernovae. So we measured the probability of ion ejector using the mean value map and standard deviation map of photon energy. And we found the asymmetric expansion structure in the line of sight direction in Kepler's SNR. On the other hand, the Tycho's SNR is very symmetric, unlike Kepler. So the expansion mechanism might be different. So future works, will study the systematic analysis with other SNRs, including Cassie, and well, it's a co-graphs, but so also the similar analysis with silicon, sulfur, argon, and so on lines. Thank you for listening.
All right, we have certainly time for questions. He was right on time. Dan. All right, Steve. Well, let's do Steve first. Can we have the lights back up?
It's interesting that your anomalous regions in Kepler also coincide nicely with what several lines of evidence indicate is a component of circumstellar material seen in projection across the face. So it's possible that some of that line emission actually is not ejecta, but circumstellar material. Can you comment on how that would impact your analysis?
So it's is this a CSM?
So the location of the iron in Kepler that you find is also where there is circumstellar material.
Extra slides. We check the system of with the heated system distribution of the, using the oxygen, the 0.5 to the 70 kB, and especially these regions and these regions are very dense GSM, but the red region, well, is red region and blue region is not so dense CSM. So, but I think weak correlation with these regions and CSM. Okay.
It was the same question. All right. Anyone else? Whoa. Same question. All right. Anyone have a different question?
Sorry, not to show this side.
We all want to get coffee. Okay.
Cassay or Kepler?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we were off the Cassay bandwagon there for once. Okay, if there's no further questions, we can get another 5 minutes. Let's thank our speaker, please.
Thank you.
All right, we have just over a half hour for coffee and poster viewing. We come back at 11:30.